Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Hallelujah. If he's your way maker, would you just stand to your feet for just a few more seconds? Just lift your hands and just give him praise that he's your way maker. Even when you don't see it, he is working. The Lord Jesus declared, "My Father is always working." We thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We give you glory. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. And you are our way maker. You're our miracle worker. You're our promise keeper. Hallelujah to your name. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise in your house today in Jesus. Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mighty fine looking group out there today. Hallelujah. So glad you're here. So appreciative of everything that y'all have been doing for us while we're going through this time of light affliction. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God is bigger than your trouble. I just want to encourage you that. I passed the Baptist church this morning. Their church sign said, "If you are willing, he is able." I like that. Hallelujah. I can't even tell you how full I am because I just been sitting around kind of helping out and just spending time with the Lord. And so I'm dangerous when I'm like this. I don't even know where all to go because I have so many places I could go. But there's one central theme that has been a focus all week long. And it is that you were created for more than this. You were created for more than this. Now, I don't know where you're at right now, and that's none of my business. I mean, it's just none of my business. I'm going to walk out of here today, and what you do with this is entirely between you and God. It's none of my business. I have people tell me all the time, "I bet that really bothers you. I bet that really bothers you." It really doesn't bother me. I mean, I do my best to feed you and to guide you and point you toward Jesus. But ultimately, if you want to be a wild sheep or a goat, well, that's what you're going to do. I spent so much time chasing people over the years, trying to get them to change their minds from bad decisions and things that they were choices they were making. And this is what I've learned. When people have made up their mind to make some bad decisions, they're going to stick with it. And only God can turn them around. And so I just do my part. I spend time with the Lord. I get in the Word. I pray. I meditate. I've talked to the Lord. What do you want to talk about, Lord? Because that's really the only important thing that goes on as far as I'm concerned. I've told you all that. There's two things that I need to do. This church is way more than me. It's His church. There's a lot more goes on here than what I do. There's only two things that are important for me to do every time we come together. The first one is that He shows up. Because if God doesn't show up, then nothing good's going to happen. And the second thing is, I just need to do what He tells me to do. That's what I need to do. And so I came here today. That's the word for you. You were created for more than this. You were created for more than this. Whatever you're in right now, whatever you're going through, and I don't care if it's just a place in life or if you're dealing with a besetting sin or whatever is going on. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. I trust that He will show you what He's talking about. But whatever you're in right now, you were created for more than this. In Psalm 139, verse 7, this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. The psalmist said, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." That kind of shoots down that deal that hell is eternal separation from God. Do you understand? In my thinking, it would be worse to know he's there than to not know he's there. If he's there, it's going to be much worse torment. Because then you're going to spend eternity knowing what you could have had. Anyway. "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me." I love this. This is powerful. "Even the night shall be light about me." In other words, God is telling us there's no difference between the dark and the light to him. If you've ever spent any time with critters, you know that they see at night a lot better than we do. They don't have much problem seeing at night. I mean, that's just the reality. Deer, horses, cows, lots of stuff. They can see fine at night. There's a lot of critters, they only come out at night. They see great at night. That's what God is telling us. If you think you can hide in the darkness from me, you've misunderstood who I am. He said, "Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day." He said, "Ain't no difference between day and night to me." The darkness and the light are both alike to you. "For you formed my inward parts." So he's letting us know, even when we're being made in our mother's belly, he's watching the entire process. He doesn't need an x-ray machine. He doesn't need a sonogram. He's watching it happen in the mother's womb. "You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance." Now he's taking it to an entirely different level. He said, "Your eyes saw my substance before they were yet formed." He said, "When you were just a twinkle in your daddy's eye, I already seen who you were." This is what I was talking about last week. The reason God is so patient with us, the reason God loves us the way he does, the reason that God deals with us in patience and kindness is because he already sees the end. He sees where he's taking you. And that's how he deals with you, not by where you're at, but by where you're going. Hallelujah. "And in your book," this is my favorite three lines in all of Scripture, at least right at this second. "And in your book, all my substance, everything about me, my frame, all of the things that you've done for me, with me, to me. And in your book, they were all written the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." God wrote a book about you before you were ever even formed. And if you want to fulfill what you were created for, then you got to get on the page of the book. You got to get on the book. Because if you're still in the middle of the book that you're writing, you are just created for more than that. God has more for you than the book you're writing. God has a good book. He wrote it before you were ever formed, before you were ever made. God saw who you were before you were even in your mother's womb. And wrote a book about the entire process and your entire life. And he's telling us, you were created for more than this. Now our focus today is going to be to get on the page. God told us that He wrote the book, and now it's up to us whether or not we get on the page. Now, I want to ask you this morning, and you, this is between you and the Lord. You talk to Him about this. Don't talk to me. Are you on God's page? Are you on God's page this morning? Are you on the page of the book for today, this July the, what is it, 15th, 16th of 2023? Are you on the page for this day and this date, this moment and this hour? Now, if you're not, I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm not here to shame you. If you walk out of here ashamed and guilty, you have not heard me correctly, because that's not what I'm trying to do. I want to encourage you to get on the page of the book. That's why I'm here today. I don't want you to feel guilt-ridden and shamed and just feel terrible about the way you're living your life. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to encourage you that there is a way for you to be everything that God has called you to be. Now, should you be on your page? Should you be finishing the book that you wrote? I simply came here with those words of encouragement. You were created for more than this. Now, I want to deal first with the issue of sin, and we may not even get off of this. And I do not believe for an instant God desires His people to know more about the devil and his devices than they know of God. And that's a problem in the church. There's a lot of people that major on the devil, and they know very little about Jesus. And you're missing the point. If you know more about the devil than you know about Jesus, you have been focusing on the wrong person. If you'll just get to know Jesus, and you've heard me talk about this before, when FBI agents are being trained, you know, they deal with counterfeit money. That's a real deal in our world. We've had folks here in the church that thought that they'd had some counterfeit money passed to them. And it's just a reality in the day that we live. The United States $100 bill is the most counterfeited bill in all the world. And with today's technology, it is so much easier to counterfeit today than it ever has been. Today's printers are amazing. The only thing that the counterfeiters have a lot of trouble getting their hands on is paper of the right quality. And when the FBI is training their agents in dealing with counterfeit money, they don't even let them touch counterfeit money. They let them handle real money all day, every day, day after day. Because if you ever get a feel for the real thing, the counterfeit is easy to detect. So if you'll just know Jesus, and you'll know Him well when the counterfeit shows up, you won't be surprised by it. You won't be taken aback by it. And you'll easily be able to put it aside. Now, James made this statement in the third chapter in the second verse. For we all, it doesn't say just some of us, for we all stumble in many things. So if you know somebody that acts like they never stumble in anything, they are a liar. It's just a reality. We all stumble in many things. Now, this is an apostle that was probably, if James were alive today, he would be in the ultra holiness movement. And I have nothing against the holiness movement. The man who was my mentor was a Pentecostal holiness man. We support some Pentecostal holiness missionaries, and they're some of the most precious people I've ever met. Brother Roy Parnell, he did more for me than any other preacher ever did. And I was so comfortable with Brother Roy, and I've never done this, so don't think what I'm saying is some kind of confession, because it's not. But if I would have been taken up in adultery, I could have went to Brother Roy, confessed that to him, and would have received no rejection, no condemnation. He would have prayed for me that God would restore me. That's how confident I was in him. I told him things about my life that I didn't tell anybody else. My wife knew what I was telling him, but struggles, deep struggles, things that I hated in my life and I wanted free from. And he never said anything ugly about any of it. And all of the things that I took to him, I'm now free from. So don't think that I'm picking on holiness people, because I'm not. But James, if he were alive today, he would be in the ultra holiness movement. Have you ever read his book? His name was really Jacob, but for some reason he was named James in the King James translation. Kind of like finding cocaine in the White House. Can't figure out where that might come from. No, they don't know, Bill. They don't know where it came from. There weren't enough cameras to see who brought it in there. James said, "For we all stumble in many ways." We all stumble in many things. We all stumble. And he said, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. So he's letting us know where most of us stumble most of the time. We just say things we shouldn't say. We put our mouth on other people. And James deals with that. I keep calling him James, but his name is Jacob. That's how brainwashed we can get. But anyway, he said, when we put our mouth on somebody else, we have become a judge. And Jesus told us not to judge. And I've heard preachers say we're to judge. Jesus said not to do it. James said not to do it. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Now, we are maybe to judge issues and matters, but as far as us right here, right now, I am not to judge my brother. I'm not to judge my sister. Because James said, if you become a judge, you're a judge of the law, and you're not even walking in the grace of the Lord. You're walking as a judge of the law. Moving on. He said, but if you don't stumble in words, you're a perfect man, and you're able also to bridle the whole body. Now, I believe that we can agree with this, and if we cannot, we can realize it's our disagreement. That is a delusion with the Word of God. What I mean by that is if you don't agree with what James just said right there, you're the one in delusion, not the Word. Because God's Word is true. So it's settled. We all stumble in many ways. And so we were created for more than this. And our goal should be as believers in Jesus is to just be ever increasing. I've heard so many people that don't even want to improve on where they're at. They're just satisfied. They're content with where they're at. And they have no desire to move upward in the things of God. And that is not the Holy Spirit. That is carnality. The Holy Spirit wants us all to be more like Jesus. He is conforming us into the image of God's dear Son. That's what's happening in the body of Christ. And if we're not in agreement with that, we're the ones in delusion. It's not the Word of God. And the Word of God is very confrontational. And if you're not confronted by the Word occasionally, it's because you're not reading it. Read the Gospels. Jesus was brutal. Am I wrong? I'm telling you, Jesus said things you're like, I might be in trouble here. First John 5. I can tell we're really moving well this morning. There is no resistance to a word like this. 1 John 5, it says in verse 16, if any man sees his brother in a sin, and this is something that I have stumbled and struggled with for so long, but I believe the Lord's given me insight this week. If any man sees his brother in a sin which is not unto death. He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So he's letting us know, if we see one of our brothers that's caught up in a sin, if we'll just pray for them, if it's not a sin unto death, God will give them life. That's what he's saying right there. He said, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. John's telling us there's some things that if people get caught up in them, don't even pray for them. This rates right up there with those words of Jesus when he said, do not cast your pearl before swine. What's he talking about? He said, there's some people, don't even give them the treasure that's in you. Jesus said that. Some of that confrontational stuff I'm talking about. John says there is a sin unto death. This has always bothered me for almost 40 years now of studying the scripture. This has just been hard for me to figure out what in the world he is talking about right here. There is a sin unto death. Now, Jesus said there's only one unpardonable sin. And that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But that's not what John's talking about right here. He's talking about a sin that leads to death. And as long as they continue down that pathway, it's hopeless. In Romans 1 and 2, we read about Paul talking about people that are being given over to a reprobate mind. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's this phrase that is here that is overwhelming. And I'll just begin at verse 7. It says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already working. Only he who is now restraining him will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is in accordance with the working of Satan with all power and signs and false wonders and with all deception of unrighteousness among those who perish. And here's why people perish. This is the sin unto death. Because they did not receive the love for the truth that they might be saved. Therefore, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That is the sin unto death. They loved pleasure more than they loved God. They did not receive the love for the truth. In other words, if we keep seeing things in the scripture and we just keep hardening and hardening and hardening and hardening ourselves against it, at one point God will send delusion. And when God sends delusion, my dear brothers and sisters, there's no reason to pray. Because there's nobody to help. If the devil deceives me, God is greater than the devil. If I deceive myself, anybody ever done that? God is greater than me. But if God sends deception, Romans 1 and 2, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. If God has given someone over to a reprobate mind, this came to me while I was reading Acts chapter 1 this week. And it was talking about Judas. I always, in my mind, I thought, well, Judas could have repented of that. But Judas, his single act was not his issue. Judas had been moving toward this all along. He had been transgressing against Jesus over and 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 over. And it wasn't the stumbling that James talks about. There is a huge difference between stumbling, struggling, and just willfully, disobediently, in absolute rebellion, saying, God, I know you don't want me to do this. I know you don't want this in my life. I know this is not the way you want me to live. But really, God, I just don't care. I'm going to do it anyway because I'm going to be writing my own book from here on out. I'm not interested in getting in your book. I don't want to do things your way. I want to do things my way, God, and that's the way it's going to be around here. And ultimately, you will get to a place God will say, fine, have it your way. You wanted Burger King, here it is, baby. No, thank you. I'm not interested in that. I want to be humble before God. And that's what we have to do. The Bible tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall receive the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And that word poor in spirit means blessed are those who recognize their desperate need for God. It's not that they don't stumble. We all stumble in many ways. We all struggle. We all say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. That's just a humanity in us. When people come to me and their hearts are broken and they're going, I can't believe I did this. I don't know why I did this. I have the same answer every time. I said, welcome to the human race. That's what we do as people. And anybody that would try to tell you that we don't stumble, that we don't struggle, that we don't have issues, they're just wrong. We're not talking about, John said it. He said, if you see somebody that's caught up in sin, that is not a sin unto death. If they have not crossed the line, if they have not been given over to a reprobate mind, if they have not come into that place there in Hebrews 6, are you familiar with Hebrews 6? If they've tasted the good things of God, if they've enjoyed, if they've experienced the Holy Spirit, and they turn from that, and the writer, I almost said Paul, the writer says that it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. And he's talking about people that are racing toward that sin unto death. And what is the sin unto death in Hebrews 6? Those people are going to reject Christ. They're going to try to walk by their own self-righteousness. They're going to try to walk by the power of the law. And the Bible says no one will be righteous under the law. You ain't never going to be right enough to be right with God on your own volition. If you have not come to one single solitary conclusion in your walk towards spirituality, and that single solitary solitary confession is that Jesus Christ is the only way I'm ever going to make heaven. If Jesus is not the only way, if you are not settled on that, then you're in a dangerous place. But if you are convinced that Jesus is it, there's no other way. We've sang about it all morning this morning. The blood's never going to lose its power. He's the one that made a way. He's a way maker. He is our help. He is our hope. He's the one. The people in Hebrews, they threw that away. They said, following Jesus is too hard. I don't like this many are the affliction stuff. I don't like the testings and the trials of this world. I don't like the persecutions. I don't like the trouble. I don't like how hard this is. I'm going to go back to something that's easier. Well, it might be easier as long as we're on this planet. But at that last heartbeat, you'll figure out that easy way wasn't such a good way. The straight and narrow might be a difficult path, but it is the only path that leads to life. His name is Jesus. I'm telling you, that's it. And any way that we reject that, any way that we turn from His instruction, His teaching, His leading, His Spirit, any time that we turn away from the Lord Jesus and we turn to our own volition, we turn to some other God, we turn to some other way, we turn to pleasure, whatever it is that we're just trying to find some peace and some solace in. And His name is not Jesus. We got problems. And I'm not here to make you feel bad. That is not why I'm here. Hang with me. First John 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God." Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already it is in the world. See, I already shared with you Hebrews 6, how the writer tells us if they've tasted that good, that the principles of Christ, if they've tasted the enlightenment, if they've tasted the heavenly gift, if they were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they turn from that and they turn back to their own ways, that's a sin that leads to death. There's no sacrifice for that. There's only one sacrifice that works. His name is Jesus. There's several things that we can do to get out of any kind of struggle that we're in. I shared with you one already. Confess. Confess. If you are struggling with sin, find somebody that is spiritual. Don't go tell the town gossip. And I'm going to tell you straight up. Paul used to pray. He said, "I give their flesh to Satan." I've never given anybody's flesh to Satan. But if I ever find out that somebody confessed something to you, and I find out you went and told people about it, I'm going to give your flesh to the devil. If somebody think enough of you to confess their sin to you, and then you go rat them out to some gossip, it's going to take me a while to get prayed through over that. If somebody loves you so much, they have so much confidence in you, they believe that you can touch heaven for them, that they come and they say, "I am struggling," and I don't care what it is. It makes no difference. You got to understand, the blood of Jesus has tremendous power. David was called a man after God's own heart. David stole a man's wife. And then he had her husband murdered. And God said, "David is a man after my own heart." That is how willing he is to forgive. Moses was a murderer, and God used him to lead his entire people out of Egypt. God is well able to forgive. I don't care if you've been guilty of adultery, drugs, alcohol, lying, porn. I mean, just whatever the worst thing you've ever done, just say it in your head. Don't say it out loud. Brother Shell was preaching a revival one time, and this woman got saved, and they had a testimony service, And this woman stood up and started testifying of all the things that God had forgiven her for. And most of them involved men in the church. And she was naming names. You can't shut that down quick enough. Hey, you talk about stuff like that, even the lights start flickering in the church. Just think about the worst thing that you've ever done in your mind. It may not be as bad as some of the things that God thinks. And whatever God thinks is the correct thought. What's the worst thing you ever done? The blood of Jesus is sufficient. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. Well, I did it last night. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. Well, I did it this morning. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. Well, I did it right before I came to church. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. We all stumble in many ways. There is a sin that is not unto death. And God would have us to pray for that. And God would have you to confess that. If you will confess that with somebody that will pray, God will heal you. Now we can pray. The Bible tells us that we can pray. And we should pray. James talks about it. Talks about humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand. God resists the proud, but he humbles those that draw near to him. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us that we are to lament and mourn and weep. Let our laughter be turned to mourning, our joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. That's coming from one of the harshest writers in the New Testament. I've literally heard preachers say, I hate James. Going to have a hard time making heaven with that one. You can't be hating people. There are times that we weep over our sin. There's times that we mourn and travail and cry over our sin. And God is faithful. He will lift us up. In Hebrews 12, it talks about looking to Jesus. And this is where I'm going to finish this morning. Because this is it. This really is it. In my mind, I don't know how your mind works, and I think the inspiration of this came from the Passion of the Christ. I watched that one time, and I don't think I've ever watched it fully again. It was just too hard. But I believe this is a scene in that movie. I know it's a scene in some movie, but it just expanded in my mind. Jesus is on the cross. And I've even said it, you know, hell was partying. I don't know how much partying goes on in hell. There was a legion of demons in a man, and they begged Jesus not to send them into the abyss before the time. So apparently demons don't do a lot of partying in hell. They would rather be in a herd of pigs than go to hell. But I believe the devil, I believe he thought he'd accomplished something. Jesus is on the cross. He says, it is finished. I see this. I see it. I see it. I see it. I hope you can see it. That's what I'm hoping and praying this morning. He is on the cross. He says, it is finished. He breathes his last. And the instant that he takes his last breath, another drop of blood falls to the ground, and when that drop of blood hits the ground, all of the planet shakes under the weight of what Jesus just did for all humanity. It is such a radical thing that has just taken place. Innocent, spotless blood. The only time a human being had ever lived a sinless life. All of us stumble in many ways, except one. There's one that never stumbled. There's one that never sinned. There's one that never blew it. And He gave His life for me. And you. And all the other billions of inhabitants on planet Earth. That blood hits the ground. The earth begins to shake. Tombs open up. Rocks roll away. Dead people start coming out of graves. There's some power in that blood. Now you're worried that whatever sin you're struggling with is somehow a limitation of what God can do in your life. But I'm here to tell you that if you will just understand who He is and what He has done, that sin will begin to fall off you like water off a duck's back. I believe that's why the danger is looking anywhere other than Jesus, because there's nothing else that works. I love the altar. We built it. You can't move these without tearing up the stage. But you can run down here and you can cry and you can cover this altar with tears and snot. And if all you do is say, I'm going to be better, God. I'm going to be better. I'm going to do better. You're going to get up and you're going to keep doing what you've always done. Because you can't do no better. You can't. Stop trying so hard and start believing. Start believing that the blood of Jesus is enough. It's enough for me. Why would God love me? I have no earthly idea why God would love me. I don't know, but all I know is that He does. I've given Him a million reasons not to love me. I've given Him a million reasons not to save me. But do you know what He did? He saved me anyway. He loves me anyway. Hallelujah. Do you understand why I love Him? Because He first loved me. It wasn't because of what I did. I thank God for all the people that prayed for me. I'd probably be in hell if they had not. But you've got to start believing. What God has said was finished when Jesus said it's finished. You got to start believing that. You got to stop carrying guilt and shame. He did not intend for you to carry guilt and shame. Jesus carried it for you. He took it all. And I know, you know, it all depends on what stage of life we're in. The struggles are different. I don't know anything about being a girl, so I'm not even going to speculate on that. You ever seen that book? Everything Men Know About Women? It's from the floor. It's about this tall. And you start turning pages, and there's nothing written on any of the pages. Because men know nothing about women. And can I tell you, when you ask us, what are you thinking? And we say nothing. That's exactly what we're thinking. We are capable of zero thoughts going through this brain. I know you all can't do that because my wife tells me that that's not possible. So I know it ain't possible for her, but it is totally possible for me. I can just turn it off. She said, I don't understand how you can lay your head down on that pillow and instantly you're asleep, because I turned it off before I laid down. I just turned it off. Went right to sleep. See, y'all think we're thinking about some high school girlfriend or whatever. We're not. Now, when we're in high school, we're probably thinking about girls. But the older we get, the less we think of them. Brother Boyle used to say, don't worry, men, age will take care of that. You've got to start believing. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's the book. Looking unto Jesus. He is the beginner and he is the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And here's the deal. He is able to save us to the uttermost because he ever lives to make intercession for us. You got to start believing that you were created for more than the stumbling you're going through right now. I was created for more than the stumbling going on in my life right now. I am looking unto Jesus. I pray you are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We will overcome. We will endure. Because he gave us the victory through his suffering and death. He took our shame. He took our guilt. He abundantly pardons us. And this day we renew our minds according to the knowledge of what he has done for us. We are born again. We are new creations in Christ. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are redeemed. We've been set free. The chains are broken, and Jesus saw to that. The prison bars are open. Jesus unlocked them. We are forgiven. We are complete in him. We are hidden in him. Our eyes are open because Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead in a human body. By his stripes, we are healed. Our grief was carried by him. He was chastised so we could walk in peace. I have the privilege and the opportunity to walk in the God kind of life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ishmael has to go. The curse is broken. We are redeemed. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are brand new. The devil is defeated. Jesus is king. We are his righteousness. We are putting on the new man, which after God is created in true righteousness and holiness. We are partakers of the divine nature, and we are escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm telling you, saints, we were created for more than this. And we just got to start believing it. We've got to start believing it. I don't think you're guilty of sinning the sin unto death. You don't know how and why I think that? Because the devil used to do this to me a lot. I was always thinking I'd sin that sin. I know probably nobody else has ever struggled with that. But there were so many times in my life I would feel hopeless. I always heard my grandpa thought that he had done too much to be saved. See, that's a lie of the enemy. And I believe there's probably people in here, you've done things in your past, and you because this is another lie. You believe because of things in your past, that's going to limit God into how far he can take you. No. The blood is enough. It doesn't matter. Ruth was a Moabitess. God forbid the Israelites from marrying Moabites. God said they'll have no part in the inheritance. But when she married Boaz, she married into the direct lineage of Jesus Christ. She was born a pagan. She was born an idolater. And this is before the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, if God can take a pagan idolater, and speaking of those, Abraham, the father of faith, he was one. If God can do that, we got a guy coming August 11th, 12th, and 13th. 18 felony convictions. I tell you, I know we got a few guys that have done a few things. I did a lot of stuff. I just didn't get caught. I don't know if I was smarter than you or if God just spared me. I don't know what the deal was. I'm just kidding. I know I'm not smarter than you. This guy travels the world telling people about Jesus. And he's going to be right here. I'm telling you, this guy flows in the power. And he's coming to Barnstall. He goes everywhere. The first time I talked to him, he just preached a conference at Bethel. Y'all ever heard of Bill Johnson? Yeah. He's preaching at his church. It's God's church, but Bill pastors it. Somebody want me to shut up? I'm having fun. I'm sorry that you're not. You were created for more than this. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar to tell God that you're going to try really hard to do better. I just don't believe in that. I just want you to renew your commitment to following Jesus. You just want to say, Jesus, I need you. I got some stuff here that's a weight. It's besetting sin. It's holding me up. It's pulling me back. I've been making some decisions and not even praying, Lord. I've been doing what I want to do. I'm on my own page of my own book. And I'm ready to lay the pen down and say, Lord, please take the pen. But he doesn't need one because the book's already written. Just ask him to pick you up and put you back on the page. And then when he shows you something, just obey him. Because the prison cells are unlocked. Isaiah 61, he already did that. The chains are broken. He has exercised his vengeance on his enemies. And his enemies are those things that are trying to hold you back. You're not his enemy. Let's just stand to our feet. I don't even know what time it is. There's only one guy that calls me during church. Hallelujah. Father, you're so good. I thank you for these people, Lord. I don't tell them thank you enough. I appreciate them so much, all that they do for Kathy and I, all the food and all the other things that they've been so diligent to help us with. We just praise you for them, God, and we pray blessings. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that every limiting factor, that every hindrance, that every besetting sin, that every weight, that everything that is trying to keep these people from running the race that is set before them, to getting their feet on the pages of the book that you have already written, I pray, God, those things be vanquished. I pray they be obliterated. I pray, God, that that your people would know that they are not held by these things. If these things hang around, it's only because they have not renewed their minds according to these things. And God, there are times that we have to weep and lament and let our laughter be turned to mourning. We get that. Lord, there's some things that we press through. We get that. But we don't press through in our own strength. We humble ourselves before you. You said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, let us recognize our desperate need for you. No condemnation, no shame. Any correction, Lord, we thank you for doing it. We love you, God. You are faithful. It's in Jesus we always pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for praying. Just keep praying for Miss.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.